book of Ruth, chapter 2. Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man, wealth, and of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him, in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, go, my daughter. And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, the Lord be with you. And they answered him, the Lord bless thee. Then said Boaz unto his servant that was set over the reapers, whose damsel is this? And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, it is the Moabitish damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. And she said, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and hath continued even from the morning until now, that she tarried a little in the house. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go into the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn. And then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, why have I found grace in thine eyes, that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? And Boaz answered and said unto her, it hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not therefore. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Then she said, let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for thou that hast comforted me, and for that thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaid, though I be not like unto one of thine handmaids. And Boaz said unto her, at mealtime come thou hither, and eat of the bread, and dip thy morsel in the vinegar. She sat beside the reapers, and he reached her parched corn, and she did eat, and was sufficed, and left. And when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, let her glean even after the sheaves, and reproach her not. And let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them, that she may glean them, and rebuke her not. So she gleaned in the field until even, and beat out that she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. She took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned, and she brought forth and gave to her that she had reserved after she was sufficed. And her mother-in-law said unto her, where hast thou gleaned today? Where wroughtest thou? Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee. And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought, and said, the man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz. And Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, blessed be he of the Lord, who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. And Naomi said unto her, the man is near of kin unto us, one of our near kinsmen, next kinsmen. And Ruth the Moabitess said, he said also unto me, thou shalt keep fast by my young men until they have ended all my harvest. And Naomi said unto Ruth, her daughter-in-law, it is good, my daughter, that thou go out with his maidens, that thou meet thee not in any other field. So she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean to the end of barley harvest and of wheat harvest, and dwelt with her mother-in-law. Now, I want you to just take this phrase tonight out of these verses of this chapter tonight, and a thought that I want to just try to use for a few minutes tonight on love at first sight. Love at first sight. Now, when I say that tonight, the love was shown first by Boaz. He loved her first. And, of course, she, after the relationship was established, she loved him. But the love at first sight was by Boaz. And, of course, that's biblical. We know that God so loved the world. He loved us. Even when we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And he loved us because that we were sinners. And that's exactly the picture we find here in this picture tonight. But, you know, just the practical standpoint of this tonight, I've always been a blessing to just read this and recognize what God was doing to Boaz and to Ruth, and of course the family that was here. Boaz had left, of course, and of course it went away from the Lord, got out of the land of Israel, and went to the land of Moab. And there, you know the history of that. We're not going to go into that tonight. But we find that Boaz, two that we find here in this chapter, we want to dwell on those two, Ruth and Boaz. And there, the blessing of it was that Boaz loved her before she loved him. And look at Boaz tonight. You know, first of all, Boaz had a background here. He done all the work. He done the work, had a place established. He done the work. He had the standing. He was the next of kin. He had a standing, and of course he had the purchase price that would take to get her, to pay for her. And he had the home place. He had the promise of a future. That's all that she needed. That's exactly what she needed. And then of course Ruth. We find Ruth. She was nobody. She was a nobody. She was a Moabite. She one that didn't know the Lord. She did not know the God of Israel. I mean, she was strictly a Moabite. She came from that land. She came from that place, but she came with her mother-in-law, and she came there because the favor was shown to her by her mother-in-law. So there we find her background is in this chapter. She was nobody, and she had nothing. You find a picture of that tonight of you and I. Before that we got saved by God's grace, we didn't have anything. I mean, we were strangers from the covenants of promise. We were without God, without any hope in this world. And so we had the background, of course, that she had. She had no hope. I mean, there was no hope for her. Moabite did not offer salvation. If you was a Moabite, she was following the gods of Moab. And there was no hope there. There was nothing that she could find that would satisfy the longing of her soul that needed salvation. And so she had no hope. She had no home. I mean, she was away from the place she used to call home. She had no home here. And she was in a strange place. She was a stranger, the Bible said. In the last part of verse 10, the Bible said that she said, "Seeing, I am a stranger." And so she admitted that she was a stranger. And that's exactly what you and I were before that we got saved. Before Jesus loved us, we was a stranger. Had nothing. I mean, there was nothing that we had. There was no hope in our hearts and lives. We stand here tonight with hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We've got hope. We've got a home. We've got a future. We've got everything that we did not used to have before the Lord found us in our sins. And so there's the fact of it is. But you notice here that when she came to this place and began to look for the sustenance that they needed. And so she went to the field to glean. There in the field was found a field that was happenstance was Boaz. It was his field. It was where that she needed to be. And of course, there's only one thing that gets us to the field where we need to be and gets us to salvation that we need to have, and that's simply grace. It's simply grace. Notice this. The Bible said that. Notice in verse 3. And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz. Yes. She was in the right place at the right time. I mean, there was Boaz. Her hap was to light into this place, and who was of the kindred of Elimelech. And so there the stage was being set. Aren't you glad one day God set the stage for you and I to get in? Amen. Aren't you glad, thank God, one day He loved us? He loved us at first sight. He loved us before we ever loved Him. And so there was the beginning of hope in her life. I mean, here she is with nothing. She's gleaning in the field. She sees the house over there. And she sees the fields that belongs to Boaz. And she sees him come from business, probably from a trip out, coming back to the field. And they're fellowshipping with his laborers. And she noticed there was a good relationship there that they had. As something that she did not have. She was a stranger. Oh, she was a stranger. And that, listen, that's where I was one day. I had no hope. I was a stranger in the field. I was away from God, and that brother needed a Savior, and there's only one that can save, and that was the Lord Jesus Christ. But all the Bible said here that she was looking for some hope, and perhaps she was on the, and by happenstance she was in the right place, and notice what's found in that field. What's found in that field? The only reason we could come to where the Lord is, the only reason He could come to where we are, was simply by the grace of God. Amen. By the grace of God. Verse 2, and Ruth the Moabite said unto her, Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. And so that there was hope, you see. And the mother-in-law, Naomi said to her, go into the field now, and go into the field, and find grace in somebody's sight. And the right field to go in was simply Boaz's field. Just simply, he had the power to redeem her. He had the love to redeem her. And God was setting the stage here for her to get in the family. Amen. I mean, she was laboring in the field. She was gleaning in the field. She wasn't even a paid worker. I mean, she was simply a beggar, you might say. She was in the happenstance to be there in the right place, and she was simply without any sustenance at all. I have no way to make a living there. The only thing she could do was go there and find the gleanings of the corn and the grain in the field that they missed when they gathered the crop. And every once in a while, there would be a handful on purpose that was dropped for some favorable person. And so that's where the grace was found. The Bible said, I shall find grace, and in whose sight I shall find grace. And so she had a hope for grace. Amen. I want you to know the world today has got a hope for grace. Our loved ones, our friends, our neighbors, they've got a hope for the grace of God, because in that field there's a Boaz that loves them at first sight. And he loved her. And there's a great love story here in this chapter. And it's a blessing just to read it. The love story that began to unfold here. And so when Boaz came from Bethlehem and said to the reapers, the Lord be with you. And they answered him, the Lord bless thee. Don't you notice, don't you think that Ruth noticed that camaraderie that they had together, that fellowship that he had with the workers there? And she noticed there was something closer than just a labor and a boss relationship. There was a family type relationship. There was one that she had, that they had with him, that she desired to have. And so there we find that she found grace. And when he came, they answered the Lord and sent Boaz and his servant that was set over the reapers, whose damsel is this? Who is that lady there? Who is that damsel there? And he saw her, and it was love at first sight. I mean, he loved her and didn't even know who she was, but he loved her. But you know, that contrasts a little bit with Jesus. He knew who he was, and he came to where we're. But you know, that makes it all the more of grace, because when he knows what we are, and he loves us anyway, and the brother, and this was different with Boaz. He didn't know her, and he loved her. But when Jesus saw us, in spite of all of our sins, in spite of everything we was, he loved us anyway. Amen. So the love was shown there by Boaz. And he said, whose damsel is this? And the servant that was sent over, the reapers answered and said, it is the Moabite's damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. Now that would be a turnoff up to most of the Israelites in that day. They'd be looking for a Jewish maid to marry. They'd be looking for somebody from their tribe, or maybe from their same families that they knew, and looking for them. But I tell you, and here was one from Moab, a stranger. I mean, one that didn't know the Lord. It was not a follower of the God of Israel. There was one that, and so, but he loved her. He saw her and fell in love with her. Amen. And so there's the love that was shown by Boaz unto her. And so she said, I pray you, let me glean. And so let me glean. As she was listening to the things that's going on, as she said, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came, and it continued even from the morning until now, and she tarried a little little in the house. Now, I don't know exactly what that's saying in that verse there. Was she tarrying in the house where Boaz lived? And did she perchance go there for some reason and tarried in that house? And maybe she saw in that house some things that sort of perked her interest in this man's house, and that she'd never met him. And so was that what the Lord permitted her to do? I don't know what that's saying there or not, but I'm tell you, it's just tearing in his house. Right now she's in the field, but one day she's going to be in the house, amen. I mean, brother, she's in the field. She's a stranger. She's a one that's away from the God of Israel, but she come to the land and she followed Naomi. You see, God always puts somebody in our lives to get us to where we ought to be to meet the Lord Jesus Christ. And brother, when he saw her, he fell in love with her. That damsel that was in his field, there was nobody else but her. I mean, he wanted her, and he wanted her to be his wife. And so that things began to be sitting in order for him to do that. And so the background didn't matter to him. It didn't matter to him where she came from. It didn't matter to him what she'd done, because the future was all he was thinking about. Brother, all of our sins are in the past, and all those things are gone and over with. Have no need for God to concern himself with a past life that we used to have. God is not concerned about that. What he's concerned about is how we're living now and what we have in the future. And so there's no concern about the past, because God forgives all of our sins. He cleanses all of our sins and put them in the sea of forgetfulness, and never to be remembered against us any longer. You can rest assured that Boaz never once again named the Moabitish religion to her. I tell you, there was a blessing of that union that God put together, because simply it was simply of grace. It was simply of grace. And so there's the fact of that relationship established in spite of the background. Listen, if God saved us because of what we used to be, and we never get saved, but he saves us because of grace, ignoring what we used to be and forgiving us of that, it's by the grace of God, unmerited favor of an almighty God upon the souls of men. And brother, God saves us because of grace. No wonder he put in the New Testament, "For by grace through faith he is saved, and not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Naomi couldn't have worked day and night in that field and deserved to get him the house. She could never do that. But what she got was simply and fully by the grace of Boaz. By his grace, he chose to show her brother grace, and that brought her into the family, and she became the wife of Boaz because of the grace was shown unto her by him in that day. So it didn't matter what she used to be, but it mattered to him what she's going to be. Amen. And you see, God's got in our future what we're going to be. It's not what we used to be. It's what we're going to be. We're going home, and we're saved under the grace of God. It's what we, not what we used to be, sorry and low down and undeserving, but it's what we're going to be. And because of what we're going to be, it's what we have become because of the grace of God. Amen. I'm glad I'm saved tonight. Amen. And so you will find that it was established here. I just like to read through this, you know, and read the things that was taking place. And so listen, he said Boaz unto Ruth. Now there's been a communication established between Boaz and Ruth. How was it established? Because of grace. Amen. And it all goes back because of grace. Forgiveness is because of grace, and the communication was because of grace. He didn't have to speak to her. She was a stranger in the land. He could have told her to get out of my field and go somewhere else. You're a Moabitess. But he didn't do that because of grace. You see, grace and truth came by the Lord Jesus. And because of grace, it came by the Redeemer. And then those that receives the grace of God receives it because of the grace given by the Redeemer unto them. And it's because of grace we're here, that we're sitting here tonight. So just because of grace, I don't deserve to be here. I don't deserve to be in the family of God. I don't deserve to go to heaven. I don't deserve any of that. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. That's what Paul said very well there. And said, and then said Boaz unto Ruth, verse 8, hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, and neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. You stay where you're at. I'm in love. In other words, I read between the lines. I'm in love with you. Don't you go anywhere else. You're going to be my wife. Amen. That's what between the line says. Don't you go anywhere else. Why? Because grace was shown by him unto her. And so it let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go back after them. Have I not charge of young men that they shall not touch thee? And when they are to thirst, go to the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn. I've got plenty of water. I've got plenty of food. I've got plenty of sustenance for you. I will not. In other words, he's given her a preview that he's going to take care of her for every need that she has and the rest of her life. Did not the Lord say to us, God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus? Has not God done that because of grace? Yes, he has. And because of grace, God is taking care of every child of God. And we got a future because simply of grace. Amen. It's all because of grace. Praise God, we got something going on here with the Lord Jesus Christ. Ruth had something going on. There look folks looking on there in that field. And of course to those that laborers there that was there with that relationship established with Boaz, it would thrill them to see that their master was going to get a bride. Amen. It thrilled them to see that. And so listen, and so Naomi said, Boaz said, they'll not touch you. And when the young men there, and when you go and you drink and you eat of the thing. And she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, look at this. Oh, isn't that where we wound up at before the Lord Jesus Christ? Isn't that where we wound up on our face before God? Isn't that altar where you made your altar at? Would not you found flat on your face before God? And why have I found grace in your sight? I don't deserve what you're giving me. I don't deserve to become a part of your family. Listen, and that's the way we were before the Lord. And so that's what she did here. And she said, why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? I'm a stranger. Well, what are you taking me in for? You ever wonder why God saved you? I often wonder why the Lord did God save me. Why would he even save me? And it all goes back to grace. And I don't know why the religious world can't see today what it takes to get saved. It's not by works. It's not by a good name. It's not all these things that men can do. They've been trying to do things all these centuries and trying to justify themselves in the sight of God by what they're doing, who they are, and all these things. And all it simply takes to get us in is the grace of God. He don't ask us to be better to get saved. He asks us to get saved, and he'll make us better. Amen. She was a stranger. She was from the covenants of promise. And so she said, why have I found grace in thine eyes that should take knowledge of me, seeing I'm a stranger? You know what it takes a sinner to get saved? They got to see what they are first. Nobody ever gets saved until they get lost. She said, I know what I am. I'm a stranger. I come from Moab. I don't deserve what you're asking me to do, what you're taking care of me with. I'm a stranger. And all the Bible said, seeing I am a stranger. Boaz answered and said unto her, it hath fully showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, how thou hast left thy father and mother and the land of thy nativity, and art come into a people which thou knowest not heretofore. Do you come to a place you didn't even know about? You didn't know anybody but Ruth and her husband that died there, and your husband that died there, and your brother-in-law that died. You didn't know any of these folks, and you come here. Hey, amen. Listen, that's exactly where we were. We didn't know anything. We didn't have anything. We was lost about God. And by the grace of God, we're brought into the land. And by the given a relationship with Boaz, with Jesus, our Redeemer, and brother, we're saved today because he had love at first sight. Amen. He loved us first. He loved us first. And why shouldn't I love him? Why should not I love him if he loved me first? Amen. Brother, listen. Love is reciprocal. If God loves us, He expects us to love Him. He expects us to love Him. And so the Bible said here, Boaz answered and said, it fully showed me what you've done. The Lord recompense thy work, verse 12, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Amen. There's what we get when we get saved. Look at that verse again. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to what? Trust. Didn't say work. It said trust. Trust you. You got to trust Him to save you. You got to trust Him to believe. You got to trust Him. Amen. And then she said, let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord. For thou hast comforted me. Isn't it good to be comforted by God? You remember when you first got saved? Remember what a comfort it was? Be able to get a good night's sleep, not be afraid of going to hell. Not be afraid to ride down the road and afraid you'd have a wreck and die and go to hell. Oh, listen, what comfort we got from the Lord. And so she found favor. And your comfort and comfort, for thou that hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaid, though I be not like unto one of thine handmaids. I'm not like one of yours out there. I'm not like one of the Israelite handmaidens. I'm not like one that's working for you. I'm not like one of those. I'm a stranger. I'm an alien. I'm from another country. We had other gods there. And oh, why are you showing favor unto me? Oh, she found that because of grace. And then Boaz said unto her, at mealtime, come thou hither. At meal, when it gets time to eat, you be at this table. You be at this table when it comes time to eat. Boy, I tell you, I've seen folk get saved down through the years. When you set the table in the house of God, there they come. Amen. There they come. You invite them to come to church the first time when they get, and then they get saved. You don't have to invite them anymore. They show up at the table. Amen. They show up at, if you got a good table spread, brother, they'll come to eat. Amen. Thank God, and that's what we have here. Isn't that a blessing? At mealtime, come thou hither and eat of the bread, dip thy morsel in the vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers, and he reached her parched corn. He began to serve her himself. Isn't it good to get a good blessing from God yourself? Isn't it good for Jesus to bless your soul, yourself? Isn't it good for him to reach over and send you some parched corn? It's already cooked. It's already ready. All you got to do is take it and eat it. And when God sets a table for us, He's going to feed us. And He's going to prove that one day at the judgment seat of Christ. And He's going to prove that at the marriage supper of the Lamb. When He's going to serve Him, gird Himself and serve us. Amen. But now we're going to have to be satisfied with parched corn. Amen. And the good things are here that's satisfying us. But one day we're going to get to heaven and we're going to get to the marriage supper of the Lamb. He's going to satisfy us with many more things. Who knows what we're going to get. Amen. And so listen, he reached her parched corn and she did eat, listen, and was sufficed. It satisfied her. I've never seen anybody get saved and not get satisfied. Amen. I was satisfied when God saved me. I couldn't explain it. I didn't have a verse or chapter. No, I couldn't. I wouldn't have known what it was anyway. But I found out that I was not hungry anymore like I used to be. I found out that He'd fed my soul that night when I got saved. I didn't want any more things from the world. I wanted what Jesus had for me. And so He ate. And she did eat and was sufficed. And then she left. And so listen. And what Boaz told them about her. And this is what God does for us. And then Boaz, when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves. And reproach her not. You let her get where you hadn't been. You let her get where you hadn't been. You put her where the good corn's at. Amen. You put her where the blessings are. You put her, she don't know what she's doing, but you put her where she needs to be. Amen. Isn't that what God does when He saves us? He puts us in the field where the good corn is. Amen. Puts us among God's people where we can feed and glean and take care of ourselves. But what He provides for us. And he said, let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them that she may glean them, and rebuke her not. And she gleaned in the field until evening, beat out that which she had gleaned. It was about an ephah of barley. She took it up and went into the city. Her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. She brought forth, gave to her that she had reserved after she was supposed